I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited.
Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John G. Mighty Rudolph behind the dials. We do have an important correction coming in from the text line. The Wire is on Amazon Prime. So there you go. You don't have to have HBO, you don't have on demand. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. So for people who are out there wondering, my fault. I thought it was just on demand. But let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line and talk to the longtime columnist at MLB.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Richard Justice. Richard, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you a big fan of the HBO show The Wire? Did you ever watch that when it was on?
Yeah, and I lived in Baltimore for 16 years.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah,
so you
I had friends who had some, there's sometimes I watch some of the newsroom scenes. I have cameos, but it's good. And if people watch the first 10 minutes of the whole series, and yeah, you'll pretty much be hooked. Yeah, I love the show.
Yeah, I heard that you can actually go to Baltimore and you can take a tour called the Wire Tour, and it'll take you around all like the areas that were famous from that show. Is that true?
Yeah, I did not know that, but there's a lot of familiar landmarks in there.
That's awesome. I had no idea that you were in Baltimore when that was going on. Yeah. I think Homicide on the Street, that show was on NBC. That was also set in Baltimore. And Richard Belzer, who was on that show, he has a cameo in The Wire, too. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about David Simon. He was a reporter for the Baltimore Sun in both those series. And so he had some of his friends on the show occasionally. Mel Proctor, who did some of the play-by-play for the Orioles, had a couple of scenes. Tom Rivera was a columnist. Around Baltimore and in Washington, he had a cameo in The Wire. Mel was on Homicide, so yeah. David Simon knows of what he writes.
Yes, he does. He's well versed in it, and the show is fantastic. They're bringing back Roseanne, and they're bringing back Will and Grace. It's time to bring back The Wire. The only reason why that show ended is because of the writer's strike. So I think they got to bring the show back. Richard, I don't know about you. I'll start the petition. I'll have you sign it.
Yeah, and for people that don't know, it's great binge watching. Because each season takes on a different aspect of Baltimore, whether it be police corruption, the school system, the harbor police way, and all that. It was really captivating. And the cast is so great. The writing is so good. You'll see a lot of those. If you watch it now, you'll recognize Omar and quite a few of the characters in the show. I mean, when they had bad guys, they were real bad guys. When they were good guys, they were real good guys.
Let's get to the action on the diamond and off the streets of Baltimore here. The Cardinals, they win 6 road games in a row, first time in franchise history, and then they win 2 of 3 against the defending World Series champion Chicago Cubs. But then over the weekend, they drop 2 of 3, or they lose 2 in a row to the Boston Red Sox in the middle of the week, and then lose 2 of 3 to the Giants. So I'm not sure which Cardinal team is real. Is it the one that went on that winning streak, or is it one that kind of struggled against the Giants and the Red Sox?
Well, the Giants are playing pretty well now. You know, they got their starting pitching together, and they're starting to play better. You know, I still think their team is going to be heard from before the year is over. And really, the Red Sox are in. I mean, there's now rumors that John Farrell might be fired, all this stuff. So everything is connected to every other little thing. When I look at the Cardinals, I say, okay, the starting pitching is better than they could have hoped. I know Lance Lynn's had a couple of tough ones in a row. He faces Kershaw tomorrow night, right?
Correct.
That's
a pretty tough order. But it seems like the Cardinals usually have pretty good success against Kershaw, though.
Yeah, and I would say Dexter Fowler is, you know, even though his batting average is low, he's been productive in the things that he does. So it's a matter of, look, got to get Piscotty going. I think the defense has been a lot better lately. And see what we can get. I mean, I would think when you look at the whole of the division and the Cubs have some starting pitchers that are struggling, the Cubs have some young players that are struggling, but the Brewers and the Reds are better than we thought. So, you know, it's interesting. Right now, if you were to say the Cardinals are going to win the NL Central, you probably would not surprise that many people. I see that Fangraphs still has the Cubs at 91 wins, the Cardinals at 85. So see how it plays out.
What do you think is going on with the Chicago Cubs? Is it just, you know, they're pitching, their starting pitching is getting older, they're not very good? Is it problems with the bullpen? Is it something as simple as just trying to handle success? You know, they're still kind of in that hangover period of winning the World Series?
I think it's two things, and I think these are things you could have seen coming on opening day. I never thought they were a slam dunk. Look, I love the organization. I love what they've done and everything. But you should look at all the pitches thrown in the big leagues since opening day last year. and three Cubs starters are in the top seven. That would be Lackey, Lester, and I think Arrieta second or third. So, I mean, when you've got that many miles, you know, on your car, you don't know when it's going to take a toll. And I think in the case of Arrieta, we've seen a regression in the stuff. The other thing is they had young guys, so many young guys that we all love. I mean, they love them, Baez and Contreras and Schwarber and Almora. But young players have an arc. You've seen it in St. Louis with Grichuk and Piscotty. They start one way. The league adjusts. They have to adjust. You know, you don't really know till about 1,500 or 1,700 at-bats. So, you know, we don't know where the career arc of those guys. We all think they're going to be stars. But this idea that the Cubs were going to have a 1,000-year run, I mean, I never bought into that, even though, obviously, you know, they have a ton of talent in that organization and are positioned to win again. But they've already made one change in the rotation. They brought this kid, Eddie Butler, they got from the Rockies. It's tough.
Richard, you brought up the Milwaukee Brewers. I have them as one of the surprises so far this year in Major League Baseball. I have it's them, the New York Yankees, the Minnesota Twins, and the Colorado Rockies. I mean, I think some of these teams maybe are a year or two ahead of where they should be as far as success goes.
Yeah, you know, I think in the case of the Brewers, I don't think they're surprised. I think they, in fact, I know they had team meetings this year. Their owner, Mark Antanasio, spoke to them and said, "Hey, we're close. We're close. Let's not screw this up." And the way Eric Thames has played has just been off the charts, and they go get Travis Shaw to play third base. So they're scoring runs in bunches. Do they have enough pitching, starting pitching? Their bullpen has been okay, and the defense hasn't been good. But, they have younger starting pitchers like Davies and Nelson. Well, now I guess Nelson's 28. Just so can they hold up? And I don't know about that. You know, you mentioned the Rockies. Rockies and Diamondbacks. To me, they were kind of mirror images of each other. They had a combination of veteran guys in the positions and young guys, but they had a lot of young pitching. And in the case of Colorado, you know, you hire Bud Black to be the manager. And they always knew they were going to have their own pitching, young pitching that just kind of came in and got indoctrinated to pitching in Coors Field. Because it's different. I mean, you're going to give up runs there at times, but you have to stay in there and not get discouraged and just throw all your pitches. But you have to teach guys that, because a veteran guy come in there and they go, "Oh, my God, I can't throw my curve. I can't do this." Yeah, you can. You have to. And sometimes the ball's going to go a long way anyway.
And I kind of like this cold war that's going on between Milwaukee and Chicago right now, too, where earlier in the season you have Chicago basically accuse Eric Thames of being on PEDs, and then over the weekend you had the game canceled 3 hours before the scheduled first pitch is thrown for a rainout, and not one drop of rain falls. And Milwaukee manager Craig Counsell said, "This is the first time we've had people treated for a sunburn after a rain delay," which I found hilarious.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. You know, in terms of Eric Thames, went to Korea, and he basically reinvented his swing, both mentally and physically. And if you look at the takes of then and now, he's lower, his hands are back, and the big thing is, it's the Tony Gwynn rule that Tony Gwynn taught everybody who would listen to him. His head is still, and it wasn't before. And so if steroids can help you lay off bad pitches, then maybe he was on steroids. But I think what you're seeing is a guy who went, and at the lowest point in his career, he couldn't get a job. He went to Korea and alone remade himself mechanically, and that's the difference. So, you know, and it's, you know, seeing him, watching a guy like that come back, I mean, all credit to him for what he's done to his career.
Better story right now in Major League Baseball, him or Aaron Judge of the Yankees?
Well, you know, one guy wears pinstripes.
Yeah. That's always going to get, he's always going to get the most attention.
Yeah, somebody asked me the other day, "Do you think Derek Jeter's more famous because he played for the Yankees?" No, come on.
I always said that about Joe Namath. Like, if Joe Namath played for any other NFL team, right, no one would give a rat's ass about Joe Namath. He's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns. But because he won it for the New York Jets, that's the reason why he's kind of like an NFL legend.
Right. It's a cool thing that's going on with the Yankees. They had nearly a perfect spring training. The guys they hoped to be on the team this year, Sanchez, Bird, and Judge, were all pretty good in spring training. Bird has struggled. Sanchez got hurt. He's back. But even more than that, Gleyber Torres, the young shortstop, I think he just got promoted to Double-A. Clint Frazier, young outfielder. They all look great. So it's going to be fun. This year, do they have enough starting pitching? They may. But, you know, because the Red Sox have had some troubles this year. You know, I don't know if the Orioles can hang in there with their starting pitching. But let's face it, you know, teams like the Cardinals and the Yankees, when they're good, it's good for baseball.
I agree 100%. And I don't know about you, but I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that these two players are healthy when it comes to a home run derby, and that's Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. I want to see those two heavyweights stare each other down at home plate and see who can hit the most out of the park. That's what I'm kind of excited about here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, that would be great because they both passed the eyeball test. When you go see them, you go, pick the two guys that are going to hit the most. That one and that one. I got them.
Richard Just is joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can read him at MLB.com and follow him on Twitter at Richard Justice. Richard, let's turn our attention back to the Cardinals here. What's the main area of concern that you are the most concerned about, I guess you could say, about the Cardinals here? If I'm a fan, what should I be the most concerned about?
No, I would just want to get Fowler and Piscotty going, and I think they will. I mean, Dexter Fowler's 21 years old. He had an 840 OPS last year. But look, I don't care how long you play. When you get an $82.5 million contract, you feel the need to justify that contract. Carl Crawford's a friend of mine. When he got all this money from the Red Sox, Tito Francona was texting him once a week, saying, we don't want you to steal one more base. We don't want you to hit one more home run. We want you to be who you are. But that's mentally hard to do. I mean, Dexter goes from the Cubs to the Cubs' biggest rival, and he feels the need to perform. And, you know, same thing with Piscotty. Isn't Piscotty the guy that got the contract?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think they have a great environment there. Mike Matheny is great with the players, and, you know, you have guys like Wainwright and Molina in there. They're going to be good. They're going to be okay. You just got to play through it. They can now see they're as good as anybody in the division, so just keep going. That would be my concern. But my concern would be, is Lance Lynn and Michael Walker going to hold up the whole year? And I know Lance has had a couple of hiccups, but I would think they're absolutely thrilled. And that, to me, was the two biggest questions. What do you got starting pitching wise?
And I'm just happy that Dexter Fowler is starting to perform at the plate, too, because the way he started out this season, I'm like, man, I've seen this movie before where the Cardinals get it, bring in a big-name free agent, and, you know, it doesn't exactly start out well, and the fans slowly start to turn on him. Not immediately, but they slowly start to turn on a player who doesn't live up to that big contract. But Dexter Fowler is starting to really take some really good at-bats at the plate, and, of course, he's always solid in center field.
Yeah, I think you got to kind of remove the money. I mean, this is a really good guy. I mean, I've known him for a while now, and
I think we just lost Richard Justice, unfortunately. You can follow him on Twitter at Richard Justice, and of course read him at MLB.com. Unfortunately, we are at the end of the segment here, so thanks to Richard Justice for joining us. Rocchio is going to get him on the phone and just kind of tell him that we lost him there, and we appreciate his time this evening. But let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Clay Beiersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.